Welcome everybody to my presentation on two-sample testing in high dimensions. My name is Nicolas Städler and I work at Hoffmann La Roche. The work here, which I present here, I did 1 or 2 years ago when I was still at the Netherlands Cancer Institute, and it is a joint work with Sash Mukherjee. So what you see here is a picture or a cartoon of a very important biochemical process which happens in our body, which is also known as protein signaling. So what it shows you here a lot of many proteins, and they are connected in a network with each other. And the idea is that a signal from outside of the cell is cascaded downwards into the nucleus of the cell by this network. This is somehow a cartoon, and that's how we imagine it works in an idealistic situation. But we know actually that, for example, in diseases, for example, in cancer, that these protein signaling networks are disrupted and dysregulated. So now imagine we would have high throughput proteomic data, and we would like to, and we would have data from a set of cancer patients, and we would like to estimate such a network. We know actually that we can do that. For example, the graphical lasso, or there has been a lot of research how to estimate such networks. And we know also it's very difficult because these models are very complex. They have huge number of parameters, and the number of samples is often very small. It's a so-called high-dimensional problem. Now imagine we have two data sets from two different disease types or disease subtypes, and we estimate for both subtypes a network. And we would like now to know whether these networks are different. So we would like to perform a hypothesis testing of networks. And this talk is about that. I will show you a solid methodology where you can answer this difficult question, and at the end you also get a link for the software. Maybe I change to PDF. Thanks. So here's the setup. It's a very general setup. We have a parametric model, a model class F, which is parameterized with a p-dimensional parameter theta. We assume we have two data sets, X and Y, which are drawn from theta X and theta Y. So these are our patient samples, disease 1 and disease 2. And what we want to estimate this hypothesis, whether the two parameters are equal or not equal. And we consider here a high-dimensional setup. P, the number of parameter components, is very large compared to the sample size, and we assume these parameters are sparse, which means that many of the parameter components are actually zero. We don't know which one, but many are. So here is the example of the network. So we assume a Gaussian graphical model. So our protein expression is distributed like a multivariate normal with covariance matrix sigma. The graph is encoded via conditional independence statement. So we have an edge between two proteins if they are not conditionally independent. That's the definition of a Gaussian graphical model. And we know in the Gaussian world the edges can actually be identified by the zero elements of the concentration matrix. And this also shows us that somehow the network, the sparsity comes with the network, with the definition of the network. And then the hypothesis, we want to test whether these networks are equal. This is equivalent to testing whether the two concentration matrix are equal, and we call this this question the differential network. So here is our approach. And the idea of this approach comes from the observation that sparsity can be very useful. First of all, sparsity, we know that it's very useful for efficient and effective inference. But we also know that sparsity has to be inferred from the data itself. And this is very simply the approach. The data adaptive approach, in the first step, we do a data splitting. So we randomly split our X and Y into two halves, in an in and an out data set. Then in a second step, where we only use the first half of this data, the in data, we do a screening step or a dimensionality reduction step. So in particular, we estimate now using this in sample sparsity patterns. Now in the third step, imagine we've now reduced in the second step the dimensionality. In the third step, we now use this information and we do a hypothesis testing and calculate the p-value by constructing a test statistic. Now you see the p-value we get in step three actually depends on the initial data split. If you would have with a different random split, we might get a different p-value, and this leads to a p-value lottery. And what we do, we repeat it many times and aggregate the different p-values. So maybe I quickly go very briefly over this. So in the screening step, we estimate using a sparse estimator active set, and we get I skip this. Maybe just to mention that the hard part is the p-value calculation, and here we compute the so-called restricted likelihood ratio statistic, and we have a theorem which shows that actually this statistics is under the null hypothesis is distributed as a weighted sum of chi squares, and this allows us to calculate the p-values. Now, very quickly, how we applied this approach on a TCGA data. What you see here, we did now for, this is a heat map showing for different cancer pairs, comparing different cancer pairs with this method. Now, if something is red, it tells you the networks are highly different, and with white, tells you they are not significantly different. For example, you see here this one is not significant, and this one compares lung adenocarcinoma with lung squamous carcinoma. So this makes sense, because there are two different types of lung cancers. But you see most of the things are actually highly different. You wonder, how is this now useful? It gets very useful if you break that down to different pathways, and you get then more information. So summary, we propose a data adaptive approach based on data splitting. It's a very general approach. It's a solid approach. We have a well-behaved theory which works in a high-dimensional context, and the application of differential networks and cancer heterogeneity I think is very interesting. And here is the package we have. We have a bioconductor package called NETHET, which stands for High Dimensional Exploration of Biological Network Heterogeneity. There's the link. It also includes a nice function called MixG Lasso. This is basically a network-based clustering algorithm. And if you have any questions, you can contact me here. Thank you very much. How we transformed it. So here we
have an assumption of multivariate Gaussian.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, in this example, we, I mean, there was a pre-processing of the RPP data, of course, and then we centered the data and we scaled it to have a variance one. That was somehow the thing for this example, but I think in general, I think my approach would be to transform the data in a way that they look at least marginally normal.
I could make a recommendation that, you know, when you have protein chemistry interaction, it all follows, like, essentially the chemical master equation is hyperbolic.
Mm-hmm.
So that means the data typically is log normally distributed. So a log transform is very helpful a lot of times to get that data.
Yeah, no, that's a great. I think we maybe transformed it log, also they look marginally very normal. I don't know anymore the details. Thanks.
And you've done any simulations, so I was curious about what the first discovery rate, because I work on the same field and
We did a huge amount of simulation and compared it to other approaches, and you find that in the publications. Performance, also the type 1 error is it's actually a conservative approach because the p-value aggregation leads to conservative p-values, but the performance, the theory says also type 1 error control is preserved in a high dimensional context.
Another question? I have some. you split your data in half-half.
Yeah.
Have you tried different split, or is the optimum to split in half?
Yeah, no, it's we stick to half-half because it's a compromise. Yeah, you need somehow to infer the sparsity,
yeah,
some amount, and so I think you could try different regimes, but I think.
You have your distribution of your is a weighted chi-square.
Yeah.
And how do you, what is the weight?
Yeah.
How do you estimate the weight?
I mean, several weights you don't have, turns out that they, you can compute them as a numeric, not numerically, it's by the theory, but there's some weights, a small set, which need to be computed from the data.
Okay.
And there is, you need to, from a matrix, you need to compute the eigenvalues.
Yeah.
And you do that on the second half of the data.
Okay.
But there are, it turns out if the models are actually turn out to be nested, then you're back in the general theory of chi-square. But for this case where models are not nested, then some of the weights have to be computed from the data.
Okay. Any more question? So I will ask my last question, sorry. And do you aggregate your p-value?
Yeah, there's, I mean, we try two approaches. One is from Meinhausen and Bühlmann approach. Aggregation, and then what I think that the easiest way and works very well is median aggregation. You just take the median of the p-values, and that works very well. I mean, the theory says it works only if the p-values are normally distributed, multivariate normal, but in practice I think it works very well and you're still conservative. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks. Any more questions? So we can thanks again for us.